The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you're listening to the prophetic voice of our time. You know, today, we're going to be talking about really the power of walking in faith in your life. You know, all the way in Genesis chapter 1, when the Lord spoke, he said, "Let there be light," and new things came forth, right? The light came forth, and the darkness was completely driven back. Okay, this is something where the current circumstances, you know, you might have thought they might be bleak, right? Darkness covered the face of the deep. The earth was formless and void, right? There was just nothing but darkness and chaos and all these things. But the Lord spoke, right? He spoke his word and he said, "Let there be light." Something that did not exist yet, something that was not there yet, and he spoke it into being. And that is the same power that the Lord has given to us, where we speak things in his name, we speak things according to his will, and those new things come forth. Now that's such an exciting thing, because what that means is that in your own life, your circumstances, whatever predicament that you're in, you are not bound by them. You are not limited by them. You are only limited by your faith and obedience to God, right? So if you need healing, you can speak healing into existence. Right? You need a breakthrough, you can speak it into existence. But we have to be walking with the Lord. We have to be obeying the Lord, right? When darkness comes forth, you can speak forth life. And that is such an exciting thing, because it shows us truly the power and the authority that the Lord has given us. Because let me tell you, Satan's already a defeated foe. Jesus already went to the cross and defeated the grave, right? He took on all that sin. All the victory has already been won. So Satan has no power over you. You already have authority over him. He has to obey you. This is the reason why when Jesus, when he was going around from city to city and somebody demon-possessed showed up, right? They begin shrieking, "Son of God, are you going to punish us before our time? Are you going to torment us before our time?" Because they knew, right? They didn't have a chance against Jesus. They knew they had to submit to him. They had to obey him, because all power and authority was given to him. So when he said, "Be quiet," well, they had to be quiet. When he said, "Be cast out," they had to be cast out. And now, this is the same kind of walk that Jesus expects us to do in our own lives. Jesus said himself in John chapter 14, verse 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, that's an amazing precedent that he has set for us. So, think of all the miracles that Jesus performed. Walking on water, feeding of the 5,000, healing of the blind, raising Lazarus from the dead. He says that if we believe in him, we will do the works that he's been doing, and even greater. That is the precedent that Jesus set for us, right? And so then you have to ask yourself, well, then why is there no power in the church? Where are those miracles? Because the scripture even tells us that these signs are going to follow them that believe. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. They're going to cast out demons. They're going to drink deadly poisons. It's not going to harm them. They're going to speak in other tongues, right? All these things are supposed to follow believers. That's supposed to be our baseline expectation, that we're operating in the supernatural. So you have to ask yourself then, well, and maybe you yourself have asked this, then where is the power? Where are the miracles? Why am I not seeing it? Well, one of these reasons is because we, the church, have not been exercising our faith. Because faith is not something that reacts to our current circumstances, okay? Faith is something that understands, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to stand firm on his word, and I'm going to believe him. Because when God told Abraham when he was 90-something years old, hey, you're going to have a kid, and your wife's going to become pregnant, even though she was barren, he believed the Lord. And it was credited to him as righteousness. When God appeared to him again, and he said, your name is now going to be Abraham, and this is going to be a sign of my covenant for you. You're going to have the covenant of circumcision. You're going to be circumcised. Every male in your house will be circumcised, including your son, Ishmael. And the scripture says that very day, Abraham was circumcised along with his son and every male in his household. You see, Abraham believed God in such a way where when the Lord said, this is what you need to do, he didn't delay. He didn't postpone. He did it because he believed the Lord. And Abraham was 90-something years old. Okay? Let's face it, circumcision, it's not a comfortable procedure, okay? But Abraham didn't, you know, twiddle his thumbs thinking, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know. It's kind of hard. Oh, I'm being stretched. Oh, this is tough. No, he just obeyed the Lord. After he finally had Isaac, his son whom he loved, through his wife Sarah, and this is the son of the promise that God had said, you will have a son through Sarah. This is my promise to you. Abraham had been believing for it. He had been praying for it. He had been desiring for it. And then God appears to him and says, now bring your son, sacrifice him for me. And the scripture tells us early the next morning, Abraham left and took his son Isaac, and they went off to a place to give this offering. Abraham did not delay his obedience to the Lord because Abraham believed God so thoroughly, so completely, that even when something was completely outside of his understanding, he said, I'm going to obey you, Lord, because I know that you are faithful. I know that you are trustworthy. I know that you are all powerful. And this is what the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, when Abraham tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, he who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, right? God told him it's going to be through Isaac, and now God's saying, you're going to sacrifice him to me, right? That goes completely against anything that Abraham could understand for himself. But it says in Hebrews 11, verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. This is the amount of faith that Abraham had in the Lord. He said, even when it's completely out of my understanding, I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to rely on him and believe in him. This is the manner of faith that we need in this day. And many of the things that get in the way with us is that we have so many conveniences around us. We have so many things provided for us, especially here in America. We have so many conveniences, so much abundance here, that we do not rely on the Lord in the same way we used to. We just assume, okay, well, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to do this and that, rather than going to the Lord first. In everything we do, we should be going to the Lord. And let's face it, the calling that God has for you, it's not something you're going to be able to do on your own. You need to trust in God. You need to have faith in the Lord. And it's that very faith that can move mountains. This is what Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 11. He says, have faith in God. And truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. See, and this is, you're not doing it yourself, right? You're not the one who's picking up that mountain and throwing it into the sea. The Lord does it on your behalf if you have faith in God. So those things that God says, I'm bringing healing in your life, you're going to be abundant, I'm going to provide for you, we have to treat them as if they have already manifested. We believe that we're healed. We believed that we are protected and that we are blessed. We have to believe. We have to take it. We have to receive it and walk out our faith in action, right? Because he says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And so it's this funny kind of thing where basically our faith is the evidence for the manifestation of those results before they even manifest in the physical realm, before they actually come to fruition in real life. Okay? And that's exactly what happens with Abraham. Before he even had a son, he believed that he would be the father of many nations, and he went where God told him to go, right? And he believed that God was going to give him this land, and he went there where God told him, even though he was living there as a foreigner, he believed and had faith that that land was his, and it was going to belong to his descendants. This is what our faith looks like. Now, this faith is so important, okay? We have to exercise our faith powerfully. If you need healing, you start speaking healing over yourself, that I am the healed in Jesus' name, right? You can pull up those scriptures about the healing power of the Lord, and you can speak that over yourself, right? In Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, it says, "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land, and I will give you a full lifespan." All right, that's good. That's what the Lord spoke over his people. It says in Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Isaiah chapter 58, verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 6, "Behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security." These are the things that God is looking to give to you. And let me tell you, they're already yours. They're already yours. So speak it over yourself and believe it. And we have to walk the faith in our own life. But you know, the faith, our faith in action, is not just about ourselves. So I've been talking a lot about how, yes, you need to walk your faith concerning your breakthrough, concerning your healing, okay? You need to walk that. But we also need to walk our faith for the sake of the nation and the future generations. For God has called us to be a light to the world. You see, Abraham, when God called him and Abraham walked in faith, it wasn't just for his own sake, right? We're now all adopted sons and daughters of Abraham, and the Messiah came through his family line. And God said to him, "Through you, all nations on earth will be blessed." Now that's an amazing calling. So the walking of his faith was not just for his own sake, but it was also for the sake of the world. It is the same for us in this day. We need to seek the kingdom of God. We need to obey the Lord because the sake of this nation, okay, the soul of this nation depends on our obedience and us putting our faith into action. Okay, there are many principalities at work. There's many dark forces at work in various industries across this nation, right? You can look to the political arena. You can look to education. You can look to entertainment. Okay, you can look to all these industries, and there's just desolate ruins and darkness and perversion and corruption. But our job is to go into those places and speak forth light, to call forth those things that are not yet there. That is what is God. That is what God has called us to be, right? Because God didn't say, "Man, it sure is dark out here," back in Genesis, right? "Oh, look at how dark it is. Look at how formless and void the world is. Oh my gosh, it's so horrible." He didn't say that. He said, "Let there be light." He spoke into existence good things that were not yet there. This is the kind of attitude we have to take. You are being sent to the world to be a light, to make a difference, to drive back the darkness. So you need to walk out your faith, right? You walk it in your life personally, and you walk it out there where the Lord is sending you. And as you do that, yes, miracle signs and wonders will follow you. We put our faith in action, and the world will change to meet that standard. Just like the world changed when God said, "Let there be light." Well, the light had to come because God spoke it. You see, I want to show you an example of this, okay? Back in 2017, the Lord sent a group of us from Freedom Fellowship Church to travel to Israel. And this is the mission that he gave us. He said, "You're going to go into Jerusalem. You're going to go to the site where the U.S. embassy was intended to be built. Because you have to remember, back then, the embassy was in Tel Aviv. Okay? Because they didn't want to offend certain people. They didn't want to get the Islamic population angry. Okay? Because then it would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, right? And it's disputed, and there's all these arguments around it, right? Well, the Lord sent a group of us to Jerusalem in 2017. And he said, you're going to go to that land where there's nothing built, and you are going to prophesy and call forth the manifestation of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. You're going to prophesy and speak it forth. And so that's exactly what we did. We went there to that land. We prophesied over that land that the U.S. Embassy was going to be built in Jerusalem, that it was going to be moved away from Tel Aviv. And let me tell you, the very next year, in May 2018, the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem was opened. This is what God sent us to do. And this is what speaking forth those new things looks like. Now, when we went there, there was no big ceremonies. There was no crusade. There was no media attention. Okay? Much like in the prophets of old, the Lord sent his prophets, go here, speak to this king and tell him this, right? Go to this place and tell this person this thing, right? And that's exactly what we did, right? Prophecy is all about that. It's, I, the Lord, am giving you this word. Go to the people and say this, right? And he tells you where to go. He tells you who to say it to and when to say it. Sometimes he tells them not even to say it. He says, write this down because it's for the future generation. It's all about what did the Lord tell you to do and are you doing it, right? But it's a completely different mindset, right? So rather than us going and complaining and petitioning and, oh, no, no, it's so horrible that this is the case. No, we went where the Lord sent us and we used his word to speak forth those new things that he desired to manifest here on the earth. This is many of the ways that transformation is going to come to the education industry. Transformation is going to come to Washington, D.C., to the entertainment industry, okay? Right? Talking about how horrible it is isn't going to get anything done. You actually have to go there and loosen forth life through your actions, through your words, and through obedience to the Lord. Now, isn't that encouraging, though? See, so nobody knew about it. Nobody knew about it, but we knew. We obeyed the Lord, and you will do the same. This is very much like, for example, what happens with the call of Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was going about the road, and a prophet of God met him on the road, okay? And then he ripped up his robe, his brand new robe, and he ripped it into 12 pieces and gave 10 of them to Jeroboam. And he says, God is putting you as king over these 10 tribes, right? There was no audience. There was no media attention. The prophet went where God sent him, and he spoke it forth, okay? Now, this shows the two dynamics where faith manifests, right? So it manifests in your personal life through faith and obedience to God, and then it manifests out in the world through the political sector, through the technology sector, by you going where God sends you, speaking forth the word, and obeying him. This is how we need to walk in every area of our life. Because let me tell you, we, the church, it's time for us to stand against the darkness and loosen forth life, right? Our Christian walk doesn't mean that there aren't going to be hard times. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be opposition in your life, right? The weapons are going to form, but the scripture also tells us they're not going to prosper. They're not going to succeed in destroying you. They're going to try, but you have God Almighty on your side. So the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, and this is the kind of things that we need to know for spiritual warfare. Because again, we're in a spiritual battle for the future of this nation. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, right? That means the devil is going to scheme. That means you're going to encounter evil and darkness, but you're supposed to take a stand against it. You're supposed to overcome it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. So, this shows us that you will come face to face with evil and darkness and wickedness. But you're not going to cower from it. You're not going to be afraid of it. You're going to take a stand against it, and you are going to overcome and triumph in the Lord. Amen? And he tells us all the things that we need, right? You need your belt of truth. You need your breastplate of righteousness, okay? You need your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. You need your sword of the Spirit. You need your shield of faith, right? You need all of these things. And this shows us to engage properly in spiritual warfare, you need to be fully armored, okay? Right? If you're not walking in righteousness, well, you're exposed, right? You have now a chink in your armor. If you don't operate in faith, well, you don't got your shield, right? If you don't have the Spirit with you, well, you don't have your weapon, right? You need all of these things to engage properly in spiritual warfare. Then he continues. He says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So this shows us, right? You don't just pray in the Spirit when you have a need. You don't just pray in the Spirit when you want something or when you go to your church services. No, he tells us pray in the Spirit on all occasions. You're going to work, you're praying in the Spirit. You're going out with your friends, you're praying in the Spirit, right? You're just relaxing or chilling, you're praying in the Spirit. You should be having a continual conversation with the Lord all throughout your day, on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit. And in doing so, you will be led by God, right? And so this is something where your faith walk is not something that's supposed to be compartmentalized off into a small subsection of your life, right? Oh yeah, well, okay, I'm gonna pray in faith. I'm gonna walk on my faith in my private life and in my prayer closet, right? No, all throughout the day, in every part of your life, you are continually praying to the Lord. You are continually having this conversation with him, and you're continually praying in the Spirit. And then he says, and always keep praying for all the Lord's people, right? We shouldn't just be praying for ourselves, because the majority of Christians, let's face it, when they're praying to the Lord, they're talking about what I want, what I need, right? It's me, my, mine, okay? Very seldom are people devoting time in praying over others, praying over the nations. But that is what is necessary for leadership in this day. So you walk out your faith in your personal life. And then you also walk out your faith concerning the nations. You have to direct your attention to the nations. You have to direct your attention globally. You have to be kingdom-minded, okay? Because brothers and sisters, we are at war. We are fighting a spiritual battle for the future of this nation. We can't let up. So just like in wartime, you have to always be alert. You can't chill out or relax. If you're treating this day as business as usual, I'm just going to go about my day, just going to do my thing, God can't use you in this great move. You are now becoming blind and ignorant to the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? If you are not remaining alert, you are making yourself ignorant to God's will. You need to continually be praying in the Spirit. You need to be continually talking to the Lord so that when you're going about your day, God can direct you. You need to take care of this, right? You need to speak forth life in that situation. This is what you're going to say to this person. All throughout the day, you should make it your goal that every day you're hearing from God and you're obeying God. And in doing so, let me tell you, miracles, signs and wonders, they will follow you. In power. They will come upon your life. God's anointing and Spirit will make itself known on your life. And through that obedience, the world will be transformed for the better. Just like it was with Abraham and just like it was with Jesus. Jesus had to obey God, and all of us are blessed as a result of it. But it's time for us to walk out that faith in an obedience. Amen. Well, I hope you were blessed by the message that you heard today, and I hope it was encouraging to you, right? You can speak faith over your own life, just like we can speak faith over the nations. So I encourage you, begin exercising it daily, starting now. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.